Good morning. Today is Tuesday, April 4th. Joining us this morning is Mr. Smithers from the Visitors, etc. for Humboldt County. Great rah, rah, rah.
Thank you. And I like the way you say Mr.
Mr. Smithers, yes. Here's a quote today from Hal Borland. April is a promise that May is bound to keep. I don't know what it means, but it sounds timely to me. What do you think?
After all the rain.
rain, here to stay.
I'm ready for that.
Oh, wait. Have you gotten any comments, concerns about the slides, about the major slides for folks either planning or just curious about our area at the Bureau?
Surprisingly not. You know, we field a number of phone calls at our front desk, not as many as a real visitor center does, but people are not asking us about that. And, of course, the promise is our friends at Caltrans will have everything squared away by the end of May when tourism season starts.
Yeah, we'll see how quick they get the bypass built there, huh?
Yeah, we're not talking about going north. That's a different issue entirely.
Well, that's, I don't know. You know, in the old days, 30, 40 years ago, it was roughly an 80-20 equation. 80% were northbound into the county. And 20% were either on 299 or coming south on 101.
Mm-hmm.
Any idea? Have you seen any numbers that indicate a change on those?
Only in a vague way, and it's not a bad idea to update those numbers. But we do have a sense that there is more north south, you know, sort of coastal traffic. People doing the Portland to LA run, or basically. But also, since there's been such growth in the Redding Chico area, there is more people coming from the east.
So it may be a combination of both, maybe taking the northbound traffic to 75%.
Yeah, 70%. it's still the majority of people coming up here.
Right, but with the conditions we're dealing with today, that's a huge, sizable chunk.
It certainly is.
Yeah, what are the preseason bookings looking like? Is anybody sharing those?
The same couple of hoteliers who I usually get it from say it's gangbusters, you know, and they say this every year, you know, that, you know, here we are still a couple months out from when we say the season really gets going, you know, Memorial Day kind of thing. And they have, you know, plenty of summer bookings. That's not the issue. We're always full in the summer, but they're getting June bookings, and they're getting the September, October bookings as well. So.
Yeah, well, that's a good indicator. I've noticed a lack of Winnebago and trailer activity, but trying to go through 299 or going through Last Chance Grade, you know, I can understand why.
We shall see. We've got a pretty robust RV community who are very
concerned
about.
Yeah, but that's a different segment than the one that you're talking to, the hotel guys.
Yes. No. Well, you know, but you know, on the wearing the Lodging Alliance hat, they're also part of the. The RV parks are part of the Lodging Alliance, so that's a concern for everyone.
I can imagine that it would be indeed. What about the airplanes? We have the one less flight now with Pan Air going to the two per day rather than the three. Have you seen any kind of a noticeable impact, again, to the folks that you talk to?
No, and it's the same old story that as much as we like having lots of good air service, it is still a very small part of our tourism economy. You know, people want to have their car up here for one thing, and so.
Right, I would think it'd be more the business lodging.
Yeah,
rather than recreational.
Right, and those folks are going to, if they have reason to be here for business, they're going to find a way to get here.
It's 8:19.
You've never heard us before, because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us, Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS. News and information time. It's 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this Tony Smithers morning. I guess that almost what flies too, doesn't it?
Well, for me, every morning is a Tony Smithers morning. Yeah.
Wow, I don't know if you're lucky or cursed.
Ask my wife.
Yeah, please, right? Is that the phrase? With the preseason and the trends and all that kind of stuff, this is budget time. Certainly. I know there's a lot of discussion going on about visitor servicing, various options that there are in the community. What sense was last year? I know you guys are on a goofy year. You're coming up to the end of the
fiscal year. Fiscal year, yes.
Rather than the way that most of us are kind of hardwired to think.
Sure.
Good year, bad year, so-so year, projected year, what do you see there?
In terms of the Bureau's funding, we are, in fact, we do have multi-year contracts with both of our main funding agencies, of course, which are the City of Eureka, first and foremost, and also the County of Humboldt. So last week we gave our annual report to the City of Eureka, and so it's time to sort of start, pushing a pencil with the city manager and others to see what that number is going to be this year. This week we're doing the same thing with the County of Humboldt, so I'll let you know how that goes.
As far as the numbers, though?
The numbers is they have more bed tax money in their coffers than ever before. So the argument we'll be making, of course, is we helped put it there, and if you want to keep it coming, this is how you do it.
Is it more people, or is it sliding the cost factor up, or... Mm-hmm. From their perspective, did anybody just boost the TOT up?
Right,
that's kicking the money.
Well, no, the TOT rate has not gone up, except for a couple of smaller exceptions. It's 10% across the board in Humboldt County, but we have looked at how the lodging industry has fared as kind of the bellwether for how you mentioned occupancy and rates and stuff. So. This year, according to Smith Travel Research, so they're like the real experts in this field, especially on the West Coast. Our annual occupancy rate was 67%. That doesn't take into account the fact that we're 98% or 96% in the summer. That's year round. So how does that look? That's a good question. Has our growth been just room rate? Well, versus 2007, so just for just about 10-year period, the occupancy in 2007 was 58.3%. So our occupancy has grown by 15%. At the same time, remember, our inventory has grown as well. We have new properties, we got all these Airbnbs and vacation rentals going on. So the occupancy has grown, the inventory has grown. And room rates, yes, they've done very nicely in that same 10-year period. Room rates have grown by nearly 40%.
Really?
Yes. Well, this...
Holy cow.
Holy cow, indeed.
More inventory. And still pushing the... Wow. That's stunning.
It is. And how are we doing versus our competitors, you might ask? No,
I'm wondering why I'm in radio.
Everyone who's got a spare room is figuring this out, I tell you. But, just a case in point, versus one of our direct competitors, Reading and Chico, last year, their occupancy was 64% versus our 67. Their room rate was $87.42 versus our $98.10 average room rate. So we are more profitable. It's more profitable.
So there may have been a lot of lower end lodging opportunities 10 years ago.
Right.
Some of those that may not be in existence.
Yeah. So the metric that the lodging industry uses is actually the product of occupancy and room rate. They call it RevPAR, revenue per available room. In Humboldt County, North Coast, it is $65 and change. In Reading and Chico, it's $55 and change. So you make $10 more per room per day here than you do over the hill.
Looking at that, now you mentioned the Airbnb, and I know there's issues with the car thing now and that there have been issues with the rooms. Are those factored into these numbers, or are those outside because it's kind of almost a different industry? I mean, it's certainly related.
It's not a different industry. It takes the same customer, but
so true. But the structures are different. Yeah. The reporting requirements are different.
The answer is yes and no. For instance, if we're talking the county unincorporated area, everything that's not an incorporated city.
Well, like Myrtletown, where the studios.
But also, you know, Oreck, Benbow Inn, all those places. The county has a direct contract, an agreement with Airbnb. Airbnb collects the transient occupancy tax as well as the assessment for the special district.
So that's been formalized over
the
last months. Okay.
They collect that from everyone who works through them and then forward it to the county. So we're working with the city so that they all get the same deal. So then it will be apples and apples. There won't be anybody flying under the radar.
So the county has that in place. Are those figures included in yours, or are those separately tracked?
Well, most of these numbers that I have are really recent, and the county only just got that deal last summer, I believe. But we did notice when we received our last bed tax report from the county, it usually had three divisions in it: north, south, and east. Now it's got north, south, east, and Airbnb.
So how did that translate? Do you have access to those figures?
That not on half, but I recall that it was like an extra $20,000 suddenly appeared for one quarter.
In bed tax?
Yes, in bed tax.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
Do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Tony Smithers, Executive Director of the Humboldt Visitors Bureau.
Throw in a Eureka there, you got it right.
Eureka Visitors Bureau?
Eureka Humboldt.
Okay. Are you guys going to be running the Visitors Bureau?
The Visitors?
Are the Visitors for the city?
Not. If
Center. That's it. Visitors Center.
If we're involved, it won't be directly. Because we represent the entire county, not just Eureka. But we're talking about how we can.
Which have Eureka in your name.
Yeah, we're talking about how we can help there. So
okay.
Stay tuned for that one.
All right. Well, stay tuned for all kinds of stuff. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting and by REDEC. Tony, as you look at some of the different challenges that are out there, I would think reinforcing the message, whatever the message is part and parcel to doing the job. Period. End of story. And you invite somebody to participate or to partake in something, and there's nothing there when they get there.
Mm.
Not a positive thing. The tangibility of marketing is something that has gone through permutations. Whether it's like the coffee table book, it's the brochure, it's the fold out, it's the non fold out, it's the flyer, it's the single sheet, it's the digital billboards and digital kiosks. I mean, there's a gazillion different options that are out there. How does your staff, how do you and your board determine what is the most cost-effective and, at the same time, the most efficient way to get the message to the traveler?
Sure.
Once they get to Humboldt County?
Well, again, first line of defense is the visitor center, idea. Problem is that there's been a big change in the traveling public. And where once upon a time, the visitor center was the first stop whenever you pulled into a new place. These days, of course, people are coming prepared with their online research that they've done, or they're just coming assuming that they're gonna go on their smartphone and look at Yelp or whatever and figure out what to do when they get here.
Or stuff that's in the rooms. I mean, is that still
There is still some material to be found in the rooms. That varies from property to property, and sometimes, franchisees can't do what the corporate brand won't allow, and
they're kind of hamstrung in some areas.
But I think the lodging industry, at least, understands that the more they can give people things to see and do in the area, the longer the length of stay is going to be, and the sooner the return visit's going to be, and the
better the experience,
the more of word of mouth is going to, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So you'll find that almost all lodging properties have a visitor center, for want of a better word, in their lobby, whether they have the certified folder rack, that sort of ubiquitous thing up and down the coast, or some more specialized things, such as the new program which the Bureau is installing later this spring, which is a little miniature Redwood Humboldt County only rack that we're calling the Humboldt Adventure Center, with 12 new brochures, content, all targeted to different interests, without advertising, without BS. They're really, really focused in on what people want to see and do. And of course, that's all available digital as well. But the thought was, let's go to where the visitors are rather than making them come to where we are. So there's going to be 100 of these racks installed throughout Humboldt County.
So where did this concept come from? Is this something that is a knockoff of an existing, or was it an idea you found somewhere else and brought home?
Strangely enough, it goes back to the days when you were on our marketing committee. For a long time, wished that we had something that was specifically focused on Humboldt County rather than the generic tourism brochure racks which you see, which include Disneyland and,
almost statewide.
Statewide stuff.
Yeah.
Which, it has its place in certain kinds of visitor centers, but our focus is to talk to the person and give them great ideas for what they can do right now, right here. And for those that have any flexibility in their planning, we might get them to stay longer. We can certainly hope to get them to want to come back because they see there's so much left undone.
So one of those is going to be at the airport, I presume?
They're on the list.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
right now we're reaching out to our wish list of 100 spots and getting their buy-in for each one because, it's a commitment. They got to give us some wall space or some counter space.
One of the things that I would think would be tricky, if it's attractive at all, is keeping it stocked.
Right.
I can remember, harkening back to years ago, 500,000, 250,000, 300,000 were print runs, but that was of one publication.
We have 12 publications.
all of a sudden, if it's 12 times that, you're looking at, 5-6 million print jobs.
Well, not quite so many.
That's an awful lot.
At least to start with.
Yeah. So what do you... And obviously there's disappointment then because the most popular ones are gone.
Well, we're going to learn.
How are you going to handle that restock? Is that something that folks who are going to have the racks have the obligation to backfill? Or do you have a runner?
No.
We're in turn running around.
We're going to use our staff and whatever other labor we can find. Now, this whole program has been funded by the Humboldt Lodging Alliance. So the Bureau's Hospitality Committee have, designed it. Bureau staff, which is myself basically, and Richard Stinger, our media and marketing director, are doing all the creative on it. But it's the HLA funding, and that includes gas money for us to run around. And in season, it'll be once a week that we're gonna service every one of these racks. So we understand that is a big commitment, and that was why perhaps we've waited so long to do this, because it is a big commitment.
So are these going to be primarily or exclusively in lodging places?
Well, no, not at all. Certainly, all the main lodging places will have one. But as I said, we want to be where the visitors are. So that might include dining, it includes retail, it includes attractions, wherever the bodies are to be found.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:43, pardon me. We'll be back with more from Tony Smithers.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:47. We're back talking shop this morning with Tony Smithers. Tony, if at this point, do you feel comfortable the state of tourism and visitors in our area? Do you think that it's still just a percentage of what it ought to be? Where are you on that one?
I kind of think that we are doing well considering the development of our destination. What do I mean by that? We've got a great attraction. We've got the Redwoods. We've got a lot of other wonderful things for people to come and see and do. But we are still rather undeveloped in terms of visitor services and companies that can help people have a better experience, such as, you know, tour guides and tour buses and sort of, you know, places where people can just sort of have an entry fee and have an experience.
More the traditional,
right,
tourist or visitor experience.
Right. So we require that the visitors do a bit of homework and kind of take care of themselves in great respect. And we'll always be that mostly, I think. I do think that we have a lot of growth potential immediately with international visitors. You know.
Now, how fluid is that with the strength of the American dollar?
That's a huge part, and also politics. You know, right now, we know that a lot of people are not happy with us for various reasons. So we're waiting for that shoe to drop. But
like the Canadians, for example, I mean, that's okay, fine.
Sure, that's okay, yeah.
And aren't they a vast preponderance of who we have visiting our area?
They're the number one source, you know, feeder market, but we have many, many important markets. UK and Germany are huge, and we're just all, you know, salivating over that Pacific Rim market. There's so many huge markets and pent-up travel demand that we can service for years to come.
Are they price sensitive?
They haven't been up to now.
So if the dollar starts kicking butt again on the yen, that's okay.
To a point.
Well, yeah, to a point. Yeah, okay. There's always that tipping point somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it'd just be interesting to see how, with the currency rebounding as it is and the economy domestically rebounding is what we're seeing played out in the stock market and some of the other things, if that shrinks the international market or if that just solely expands the domestic market and it's a percentage shift instead of a number shift.
Well, it all seems to balance. You know, when the dollar causes us to lose international, then our domestic market is stronger than ever too. So,
amazing how that happens, isn't it?
Yes.
Do you adjust your marketing plans accordingly?
If there's a huge, you know, obvious shift in
15% bump up.
Yeah.
Is that enough to?
That's definitely enough to say, is that the right place to be looking for eyeballs with our message?
Buy American.
Yeah. Which is definitely what we did after 9/11 and other times. We definitely went that way, and that worked for us.
Thanks for coming by.
My pleasure.
See everybody tomorrow.